Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers that are here. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, the house He provides for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. You know, today we're going to talk about a mother on a mission. And I didn't know that this would be part of my comments, but last night we had a grandmother on mission. Connie and I went to Mia's ballerina recital yesterday. And we had a good time. It was at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. And Connie said, well, we'll be back about 3 because I told her I had finished, you know, outlining my sermon, but I'd like to get some time to go over it. So we got to, after the recital, we walked outside and Mia said, Grandma, we're coming to your house. And Grandma said, oh, really? So she said, okay, that'll be fine. And Foster, who is their cousin, he said he wanted to go. But his mother said no, it was too much for him to come with the other two. So we went to do some things Connie needed to do, and we went and picked up Mia and Evan, and we got in the car, and Mia said, Grandma, where's Foster? Is he already at your house? He's my best buddy. So it touched Grandma's heart, so she called Hunter and said, Foster's coming whether you think we can handle him or not. So we got home at 10 minutes to 8. And then we had to watch Baby Einstein, and then we had baths, and then Connie got her injured foot stepped on twice by Foster and Evan, and so we finally get them to bed, and Foster wakes up and cries straight for about an hour and a half. And Connie called his mother and said, what do you want me to do? What do I do? And she said, I don't know. So he finally got over that. So at 1:30, Connie's going to fix dinner for all of us. Mama and my sister came up, and Connie said, well, I'll just fix lunch so we won't have to go out. So she made the banana pudding and was taking it from the counter to the refrigerator and dropped that all over the floor, 1:30 in the morning, all over the floor. She cleans up the banana pudding. I'm asleep. You know, I've gone to sleep by this time. So I get up at 6 o'clock and take my shower and go in the kitchen, and the roast beef smells so good. She put it in the crock pot. And I walk in there, and she said, I can't believe it. The crock pot had overflowed, and all the gravy was all down the counter, across the floor, behind the counter, in front of the counter, in front of the refrigerator. So it took us about 45 minutes to clean that up. So Connie's mission was to have a carefree Mother's Day weekend and make everybody happy by doing all this stuff. But she tried, and we appreciate it. And I know the kids had it. They had a good time. But I said, Connie, how did you think this was going to cook? She crammed everything down in the crock pot. I mean, crammed it down. She just didn't place it in there. And the carrots were just right up to the top of the dome. I said, it's got to have somewhere to expand when it cooks. Anyway, she was a mother on mission last night. Well, today we're going to talk about another mother on mission. We're going to talk about Eunice, Timothy's mother. And our scripture is going to be from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. This is Paul's letter to his protege, Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of his life that is in Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Eunice, Timothy's mother, was a single mother in a scary world. She was a Jew who believed in Jesus. Her husband was a non-believer Greek. And we don't know if he left Eunice or if he died. But one fact that we do know is that just like in today's society, raising a child in a single parent home at that time was no picnic either. And Eunice learned this fact very quickly. However, regardless of the circumstances, children can be a blessing and a source of pride to a parent. And such was the case with Timothy. As a child, Eunice was a wise, spiritual, strong mother, and her godly priorities in life were passed along to Timothy, the priorities that she had learned from her mother Lois's knee, and she taught these to her son. You know, and we see this every day, the world measures success. The world has priorities in terms of money, position, power, and fame. And these transitory goals, for which a majority of our society strives, bring nothing as far as peace and satisfaction and an eternal life. And we expose to examples every day of such people. We read of ball players getting $45 million for 1 year of playing ball. Singers getting millions of dollars to perform. Actors getting $40 and $50 million to shoot one movie. These people are idolized. These people are paid millions for their performances. And that includes business leaders as well. Those who are successful in business, we idolize them and we envy their millions of dollars of salary each year. And we emulate these people and spend most of our productive lives trying to give priority to attaining the same success that they have attained. Now, Mother's Day provides us, I believe, an excellent opportunity to review a godly mother's priorities for life. And we find in the second portion of our text in Timothy chapter 3 that Paul is writing to a young pastor whom he had agreed to mentor, and that is his protege, Timothy, as I mentioned earlier. So let's look at the comments Paul made regarding such priorities of life to Timothy. First of all, he said priority number one is Jesus, the Savior. The Savior should be priority number one in all of our lives. And this is what Eunice taught Timothy. Paul recalled, "And have from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus." Eunice led Timothy to know the Lord Jesus. She taught him. She taught him God's word. She prayed with him. She prayed for him. And she expected him to accept Jesus as his Savior. Now this sounds such a simple formula, but it is not easy. Susanna Wesley was the mother of many children, two of whom were Charles and John. John Wesley was the founder of Methodism, or the Methodist movement. And Charles was a leader in the Methodist movement and a prolific songwriter. He has over 150 hymns in the Methodist songbook, including Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Mrs. Wesley, the mother of these children, is said to have prayed 1 hour every day for her children. She was strict, yet she was unselfishly faithful. She had 6 rules for teaching her children to make Jesus priority number 1 in their lives. The first rule was subdue self-will in a child. Number 2, teach a child to pray as soon as he or she can speak. Number 3, give nothing that a child cries for, and only what is good for them when they ask politely. Number 4, punish no fault that the child confesses, but let no sinful act go unnoticed. Number 5, reward good behavior. And number 6, strictly observe all the promises you have made to your child. Now, does these sound familiar to any of you? I would hope they would, because this is how God treats us. This is exactly the way the Lord treats us. Knowing the love of the mother up close and personal, a child will learn the love of the Father in heaven. Priority number 2, which Paul comments on in his letter to Timothy, is the scripture, or God's word. In verses 15 and 16, he says, "How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures." And then in 16, he says, "All scripture is God-breathed." Eunice taught her son Timothy the scriptures at an early age. Jewish boys began formal training in the scripture at age 5. And historians inform us that Susanna Wesley took each child aside for 1 hour each week to discuss and teach the principles of godly spiritual living. And she had 16 children. Six of those died early after childbirth. But she had 10 that she was mothering at one time, and she would take each aside for 1 hour a week and teach them God's principles from God's word. And her 2 sons that we mentioned earlier, John and Charles, touched persons across 2 continents for Jesus Christ. And the best formula I know for teaching children to set priorities in their lives according to God's principles is, number 1, bring them to church on every Sunday and let them hear God's word. And number 2 is teach them to apply what is learned on Sunday through the rest of the week. If we can do that as mothers and fathers, we will make a great stride towards our children having the same godly priorities in their lives that we have. Nobody can make you do this, mothers. Nobody at all. In fact, just the opposite is true today. With God removed from public places and the schools teaching human secularism, your child has little chance of growing up to be like Timothy. In fact, he or she will not possess any Christian values unless you teach them. Now, with all of the demands of today's world, and I know through being a granddad, you know, the soccer games, the ballets, the preschool, the kindergarten, the school, I'm sure the question comes to mind is, teaching my child God's godly priorities, is that just another burden on me? Is that just a further complication in this already complicated life? When do single mothers and working moms have time to do this? Have time to teach their children? Have time to be like a Susanna Wesley parent who lived in another less frenetic time? Well, relax, Mom, because it's not as difficult as it sounds. You just need to develop a priority in your own life for the Savior and for the Scripture. Simply live your lives according to God's Word in front of your children, but be prepared to answer their questions because you will be teaching them. They see, and they do as they see. But on the other hand, if you do not live your life with godly principles as your guide, don't bother to teach the children because they're not going to learn. It's that old world is saying, don't do as I say, do as I say. It doesn't work. We all know it doesn't work. A child sees his mother carry a Bible to church on Sunday and then never sees her pick it up from Monday through Saturday. What does the child learn? That the Bible is for Sunday only, not during the week. Number three, the third priority that Paul comments on to Timothy is service to the Lord. He says, Savior, Scripture, and service. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Timothy's instruction in the Word by his mom Eunice was to prepare him for service to the Lord. She taught him about the Savior. She taught him that Jesus Christ was the answer to eternal life. She taught him the Scriptures. And she taught him to serve the Lord. As we learned in the book of Acts, Timothy's good reputation had its beginning in his mother's good reputation. And once often we think the best legacy we can leave our children is a pile of money or a bunch of possessions. But the best legacy we can leave is simply a good name, a good Christian reputation. Eunice's reputation replicated itself in her son. Paul had no hesitation upon accepting this young man as a protege and mentoring him because he knew of Eunice's service to the Lord. Many good men and women who are faithful servants of God have that same testimony. They say, I merely followed the lead of my mother. My mother taught me, or my father, but my parent taught me a love of God. So I ask you, Mom, is your child ready to serve God? Are you teaching and preparing him and her to believe in Jesus as the Savior, to study the Scriptures, to hide them in their hearts, to use them as a shield against the world and to guide them in making decisions? Are you leading them to serve God? Are you bringing them to church every Sunday? Are you setting the example? not only just bringing them, but are you attending church? Are you making it a priority in your life for your family and for your children? Or is your child unmotivated, unequipped, and undirected to develop godly priorities in their life? Is he or she unprepared to meet the spirit of this age? How will your child react when there's peer pressure and a world without Jesus, a culture without Jesus, when it challenges their faith? How will they react to the message that Jesus is irrelevant? That if you rationalize things, Jesus is not necessary. How will they hold up against that type of worldly pressure? The truth is, when a child is born, there are at least two emotions. One is hallelujah, a joy, a child is born. And the other is, oh no, what do I do now? And as wonderful as being a mother is, I know from Connie and from a lot of other mothers that it's very scary to raise a child, particularly in today's society. Connie and I often talk about that, those three precious grandchildren we have. What does the world hold for them? Particularly if their parents do not teach them to love God, to love His Word, and to serve Him. There are thousands of books from Dr. Spock to Dr. Ruth on parenting. There are more advice from parents and Oprah than a parent can count on, can count as far as raising their children. So what is a mother to do? Well, the simple answer is reject the fads, reject the gimmicks, reject the trends, and be a godly woman. Set your priorities in order. Savior, Scripture, and service. And if your child sees you giving priority to those three things in your life, they will learn from you. I was thinking, coming to church this morning, about Mia and Foster, the two young ones. Everything Connie said last night to Evan when she was telling Evan, do this and do that, they repeated it right behind her. Word for word. Evan, you do this. Evan, you do that. Children learn from how we act, from what we say, from what they see us doing. Mother and father are not honorary titles. Whether you know it or not, they are job descriptions, working job descriptions. And possessing the priorities we reviewed today never guarantees that the job is easy. I'm not going to stand up here and try to convince you of that. Yet, let me tell you this, moms, possessing those qualities, possessing those priorities in your life can turn your legacy into what was shown in a Saturday Evening Post cartoon some years ago. There was a little boy, 6 years old, on the phone, and he says, Mom is in the hospital. The twins, Billy and Sally, and me, and John, and the dog, and Dad are all here at home alone. What a great legacy for a mom. To be so important in a child's life that with all those people around her, he still felt like he was alone. Mothers, you lead your child to the Savior. You teach the Scriptures to your child. You encourage your child to serve the Lord. You be a mother on a mission. This morning we're going to sing an invitation hymn, hymn number 326, and we invite any who would be touched by the Holy Spirit to accept Christ as their Savior. A mother, whether you're a mother or not, we invite you to come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation.